Hello, hello. Whoa, man. It's because you're here. No, it's, yeah. Oh, how good. Well, good morning. I youth ministry, energy, vibes, all of the things. Hey, well, it's great to be gathered. If we, I know we got some fresh faces here this morning, so if we haven't had the chance to meet yet, my name's Nick. I'm the senior pastor here at Outlook. Maddie, our young adult coordinator, and Kaya, our kids coordinator. We're going to hear in a little bit from them in just a minute. But we're doing faith stories this morning. Sorry, we were going to lean into this at the start of the month, and I suppose the heart behind, particularly this morning of faith stories, is that across the course of, I suppose, like the last 18 months, seen such an influx of fresh faces, so many people that are kind of connecting into community here for the first time, and we never want to take for granted that it's possible to be in the room every Sunday, having conversations with people, and even to an extent, finding community and connection outside the context of Sunday, but still not go deeper into relationship with people, still not even, you know, you see Maddie up the front, you see Kaya up the front, we throw their names around, but actually knowing some of their stories and not taking for granted that in the context of community, we don't just want to have that surface level conversation on a Sunday, but really journey together through discipleship. And so we're going to hear from them a little bit this morning. Before we get to that, we are like this close on the lease agreement for Foundry Street. I was talking to Pat before. He's got the solicitor experience. My phone has not stopped going off this week. Just been CC'd on so many emails back and forth between solicitors and different details and different things. And we are this close. And so my hope would be standing here next Sunday that we've signed and that we can officially kind of start to transition and make those moves. But the loose timeline at this stage, if you're a praying person and you want to join us in praying, everything kind of comes through, is that at this stage, the plan would be that our fit out period of a month starts on the 1st of February. And so we have a full month where we still gather here, but we can start to move some things in, start to set whatever up that we need to over at Foundry Street. And then our first Sunday in Foundry Street would be Sunday, the 1st of March. And so we're close. Everything's been delayed by about a month because of Christmas, but that looks like how things are shaping up. And like I said, hopefully next Sunday we're standing here and we can officially celebrate. It feels really close and a lot of back and forth, but we're close. We're almost there. And so we'll keep praying and hopefully it all comes together. But we'll jump in. Like I said, Maddie's our young adult coordinator. Stepped into that space last year. It was a really, really cool journey seeing Maddie grow in her leadership and just the community that was built across the young adults of the church. And then Kai has been charging in the kids' church space for the last couple of years. And I think both of these leaders in particular, I know some of their stories in a way that I think other people in the room wouldn't, just from journeying together in leadership spaces. But there is such a depth to both of them, and just the yes that they've given to Jesus in terms of what discipleship looks like, stepping into obviously leadership in the context of the church as well. I'm particularly excited to be able to hear from them this morning. And so I feel like we might as well get into it. Fun fact about Kaya, I would be willing to bet that she would beat anybody in the room in 100 meters. Fair? She's very humble, but the rumors that I've heard from the old centenary days is that there's some age champion status floating around here and a little bit of speed. And so maybe at the next church family picnic, we'll put that to the test. We'll see. And then Maddie, fun fact, Maddie, I feel like at any given point could either be traveling around Australia in the back of her ute, or deeply planted in the context of the local church, or traveling overseas, or doing... Maddie is a free spirit that we absolutely love, and it's been such a joy seeing her step into some leadership stuff over the last couple of years and the journey that's ahead as well. I suppose on a more exciting front in some sense, Maddie's actually going to be jumping into our preaching group for this year. And so she preached a couple of times last year, and it's been such a blessing hearing from her and just the perspective that she brings on so many things. And so the heart behind that is that we'll be able to spread the load a little bit more. No one needs to hear from me every week. Gets old. I know it does. Just ask Jandy. You know, and so we want a bit more diversity in that space. And I think it's been a real encouragement to see Maddie kind of grow in there. And so be hearing from her a lot more specifically in that space. And Kaya's got some awesome plans for Kids Church, particularly in the new space as well, that are going to shape up. And so we'll see how that journey goes. But might as well jump in, hey? First question. We're running with the same questions that we always do. Can you share the journey that's led you to faith in Jesus? I know there's a whole bunch of directions you could go with that, but you know, maybe leaning into some of the key moments or even people that played a significant role of why you're sitting here today following Jesus.
Hello, is this on? Okay. Just want to preface, I got back from youth camp yesterday, so, and Europe a week ago. So if my sentences make no sense, please just bear with me in that. But I guess for me, what led me to faith. So I grew up in a Christian home. My parents and my three other siblings every Sunday were at church. I think my first outing when I was born was to church. So it definitely wasn't something that was foreign or unknown. And I would say that I first kind of understood who Jesus was and what he had done for me when I was around 8 or 9. And then I got baptized when I was in grade 8. But then I don't think I started my relationship with Jesus until I probably end of 2021, start of 2022. So I was moved out of home. It was actually 10 years yesterday that I moved out of home. My Facebook memories, thanks for that. Awesome. So I moved out of home to a very small town. You've probably all heard of it, called Blackbutt, where I lived for 6 years. And at the end of that stint, a lot of things kind of happened, and which led me to a bit of a mental breakdown that wasn't ideal. And you know, also it was very humbling that at 24 years old, I had to get driven back to my mum's house because you still need your mum all the time. And at that point, I thought, okay, something needs to change. So I moved to Toowoomba and started coming along to Outlook. And I think that was a really pivotal moment in my relationship with Jesus, in just that I realized that for the previous, probably 24 years of my life, yes, I had a faith. Yes, I knew God and I prayed and all the rest of it, but I didn't actually have that relationship, and I didn't actually think that I could go to Jesus with any of my struggles. I just thought that I had to be prim and proper and deal with it on my own, but still pray about things. And so I think that was a pretty pivotal moment, and Liam and Phoebe played a massive role in that. So Phoebe, she's my cousin, if you didn't know. And so they, played a huge role in getting me connected into church here and in that leadership and just in my growth and discipleship. So, that was probably my journey to my relationship as opposed to my faith. Because, my faith, I would say, has always been there in home life and,
I just wanted to acknowledge before I actually get into my story, there's just like some very heavy parts over the last few years that my family and I have journeyed through. And so my parents have very, very graciously, I've had several conversations with them over the last few weeks, and they're very graciously letting me share some really deep and personal things related to them. And I think some of it's just very hard to separate from my story, and it does show a lot of the brokenness in me and in my parents, but I think in showing that, it also just highlights how amazing our God is. So just so everyone's aware coming into this conversation, just I'm very grateful for my parents in letting me share some of this. I think when I think about like the moment that I really came to faith, I always come back to just this one encounter that I had. And just for a bit of context around this, I probably would have been in about grade 11, and my parents had just separated, but we were all still living in the same house, and so as you can imagine, it was quite a tense home environment at the time. And there was this one night that my parents had gotten into quite a big argument, and my dad, he struggled with alcohol for quite a few years, and he'd had quite a bit to drink this night as well, and so that made him like extremely angry. And so my siblings and I, we were all in our rooms, and my parents were arguing, and I just then hear my mum shouting that he's got the keys. And I just knew that she meant that Dad had the car keys and was trying to get out of the house. And it was just, I just had this voice in my head that was kind of just saying that if he got in the car and if he left, that I wouldn't see him again. And so I hopped out of my room and I went to the garage door and was blocking my dad from getting out of the house. And at this time, I wasn't following Jesus, if I'm being completely honest. I think at this point in time, with everything that had happened over the last few months in my life, I actually really hated God. And it was just in a moment I prayed and I was just praying. I was like, God, if you're real, please help me. And it was just like immediately I was just covered in this peace. And I don't even know how to describe it. It was just like this overwhelming peace that was undeniably God. And that's always the point of time that I come back to when I think about my story. It was a few months later. I think it's quite amazing, actually, that we're sharing this weekend with our youth coming off the back of State Youth Camp. I went to quite a few State Youth Camps in my time, and it was about 2 months after this encounter that I was back at State Youth Camp in January, and just the way that God spoke to me in that moment and over those few days, it was just... it just really sealed the deal for me. And I was like, okay, Jesus, I am all in. And it was the biggest reminder that God does care and that he does walk through really difficult things with us and he doesn't leave us. And I remember it was at this State Youth Camp. I can still distinctly remember just what this one speaker said. She was just talking a lot and speaking a lot into suffering and circumstances. And she had said at this youth camp, she was like, we can't let our circumstances impact how we see God, but we need to be letting God impact how we see our circumstances. And that has just stuck with me over the years as I've journeyed through a lot of stuff. But yeah, just having God speak to me in such powerful and personal ways at State Youth Camp that year has just really deepened my knowledge of who Jesus is, and I think just without a doubt in my mind, knowing that he is there and that he loves us. It was actually at that State Youth Camp as well. Pastor Liam's not here for his shout out, but I remember at the end of State Youth Camp, we would sit down as a youth group and just kind of talk through the following year. And I just remember that year Liam put out this invitation to the youth to come to church. And it was the following Sunday. I was like, okay, Jesus. And I rocked up to church by myself. I've been coming, I think, nearly every Sunday since and just haven't looked back.
So cool. Hey, we see this beautiful picture across Scripture, right, where we read of a peace that surpasses all understanding. You know, a different translation that would say a peace that can't be understood to an extent. And I think that's exactly what Kai is just leaning into there. And so I'm putting you on the spot. But when we round out at the end, I think there's even just in worship this morning, I almost just fell back into the chair as I sat down of just the peace of just making space to really just sit and really, I think the pared back nature of just going into the simple space. So Patty, thank you for your leadership this morning. And I think peace is maybe a bit of a theme of the morning. And so as we round stuff out, I'd love for you to pray. I know there's, you don't need a prophetic gifting to know across the room that there's going to be circumstances where we need peace this morning that surpasses all understanding. And I know that's a huge part of your story and something that I think you get to speak into a room and minister into. So we'll lean into that. Question. This is a really broad one, and so obviously you'll nail down where you feel led in this space. But what was your life like before deciding to follow Jesus? I suppose, Maddie, maybe more in the sense for you of going, I'm planted now, and this thing is real to me, and I'm going to be intentional in my faith. You know, and what's changed since then?
So I think for me, in the years, probably the years that I'm going to like speak to is when I, from when I graduated school to when I moved to Toowoomba. And in that time, as Nick said, being quite free-spirited, I also hated the idea of being content. I thought that was really boring. And so I was off doing anything and everything that I could. I was I think I've been to like nearly every rodeo in Queensland like 4 times. I think I've like camped. I just wanted to do everything. I wanted to experience everything. But to the detriment of that was my faith and my walk with God. And so I think it very much looked like me never settling. I was seeking a lot of things of the world. I was, you know, looking to people and social situations and boys and, you know, alcohol and all the rest of it to kind of be like, yeah, like this is, I'm in my prime. Like this is what I, you know, and I really thought I was living it up. And yeah, I think I very much, there was a few times in that time during 2020 was probably a really tough year, not just because of COVID. Fortunately, being in the middle of nowhere, COVID actually didn't affect me that much, which was great. But there was, yeah, a few situations that year where I denied my faith, like verbally to people, and I did it for their approval. I did it because I thought, oh, well, you know, let's be real. I met a boy and and I thought that he wasn't a Christian. And so I was like, great, you know, I love this boy. Like, yeah, this is it. He was also a gap student from Columbia. So I thought, okay, you know, he's going to ask me to go back home with him. Like, you know, this is the whole thing. And so I completely changed who I was to fit this mold that I thought he wanted. And so, yeah, he would be like, oh, isn't your family Christian? I was like, yeah, but I'm not. Like, I'm, you know, yeah, you know, grew up in that. I completely, like, denied it. I wasn't going to church. I pushed my family away, pushed my friends away because I knew that they would keep me accountable and they'd call me out. So I thought, well, you know, I used isolation as a, oh, sorry, I can't come and visit, all the rest of it. And so I was very much living my own life and thought that, oh, yeah, I've got control over this and I can do this on my own. And then he left and obviously didn't ask me to go with him, and because I'm still here, which is a massive blessing, obviously. But that whole situation just completely broke me. And yeah, I think like in that moment, I could have gone one of two ways. I went the way of, okay, well, I'll just continue doing this on my own. And so that's what kind of led to 2021 being a lead up to, yeah, a massive crumbling for me, where I wasn't eating, I couldn't sleep. I just had all this pressure on me. I was still in the place. He was living and working at the same place that, so it was everywhere. And so, yeah, that kind of really led to a lot. And then that's when I realized, okay, I can't actually do this on my own. My family were, you know, trying to reach out and be like, you're not, you know, this isn't right. But I'm very, very independent and prideful. I don't know. And so I was like, no, it's fine. It's fine. Like, no, I'm good, Mom. Like, I'm good. But yeah, so that was kind of a bit of what my story, very unsettled and very just like trying to fit in to the ways of the world, and trying to control my own life. And yeah, wasn't until God literally made me hit kind of rock bottom before he was like, you can't actually do this on your own. And yeah, that's probably a little bit, yeah, so. That's that, yeah.
I think the biggest like transformation of my heart that I've seen after coming to Jesus has just been being able to release all of this bitterness and unforgiveness that I was holding on to. And like I had always been like the type of person to hold a grudge, and if somebody hurt me once, that was it for them. And yeah, I've had a really difficult relationship with my parents over the years, and so I have held a lot of bitterness and unforgiveness towards them especially. And yeah, I think particularly with my relationship with my mum, we've always just had a really tense relationship and have clashed. And it got to the point after my parents had separated that I was living in between houses and just ended up moving in with my dad full time. And I had no contact with my mum for about 8 months because I just had so much bitterness and hurt in my heart towards her. Then got to a point as well that my dad's drinking got quite bad. And so I ended up moving out of his place as well and was kind of living in this limbo of where am I going to be? There was like a lot to journey through in that. And it took a really long time, but it probably would have been maybe 3 months into living in our new house, which is another story in itself. I just kind of woke up and all of this bitterness and unforgiveness had just fallen away. And it wasn't like it was all at once. It was like over time. But I just woke up one day and was like, I don't actually have feel any bitterness or any hurt towards my parents anymore. And so God has just really showed himself in that as being a God who redeems, and he has just one by one redeemed my relationships within my family. And so I now have an absolutely amazing relationship with my mum and with my dad, and I'm over snagging free meals at their houses every week. It's young adult life. So like God has just really shown himself in that, and yeah, I feel like now I'm just not the person who would hold anything in. Like, I find it just so easy. And it is not by anything that I've done. It is all God in that. But I just find it so easy to forgive and let go of hurts. And I think that's been the biggest change in my heart, yeah.
It's one thing I talked to both Maddie and Kaya, like, before about just the heart that we have from a communication perspective for just transparency, for vulnerability, for openness and honesty, and maybe more so in the case of Maddie with preaching, of just going, what is great content, message structure looks great, but what about Wednesday? What about Wednesday? When we walk out of here and we're not in the Sunday environment anymore and we're at work or stuff's going on, like, what about Wednesday? How does this look for us when we're, you know, actually living life? And I think I'm so encouraged by the transparency, by the vulnerability, by the openness. I think it's really where, come Wednesday.
Sure.
Because what you describe, I would say, is not the experience that any of us have with you now.
Yeah, I think when I first started coming back to church, and it was surrendering to God, and yeah, the change that I've had now, it wasn't easy. It was hard, and to do that, I had to put my own ideas aside, and not even just to hear from God, but to hear from people who I know are speaking into my life because they love me, because they care for me. And I think when you go through an experience where you're with some, like when, you know, with this guy, where I thought, like, he made me believe that he loved me, he cared for me. And so then after that, it's really hard to trust people. Like, it's really hard to believe that these people are doing it because they care. There was a lot of tears, which I don't like crying. So that was really like, just like being vulnerable. And there was moments where I would be like getting back into praying after not praying for so long, and being very like not at all into like church or anything was really hard. Because I instantly went back to my, when I was a child, my prayer. So I grew up in a very conservative Brethren upbringing. And so the prayers that they would say in our church of a morning would be like 10 minutes long, think like Shakespeare. And so I thought that that's what I needed to do. And so it wasn't conversational. And so I would go back to that, but I was like, nothing's actually happening. And it wasn't until, I have a really good friend from Brisbane. We went to school together and she's still a really close friend of mine now. And she actually, like, I was with her one day and I was really, really, like, she could tell that I was just not myself. And she was like, right, like, down on your knees, we're praying. And I was like, what? What do you mean? Like, and she was like very forceful. And we got, and she, the way that she prayed was just such like, I could tell that she prayed a lot and her conversations. And that's when I was like, okay, this is, my prayers are different. This is different. And I had to really humble myself and just really remove myself from the situation, which if you know me, is really hard, having to really, yeah, put myself, like, not be this independent, put together person, and just like, actually, I'm broken and I'm struggling, and yeah, it was hard. I don't know if that answers the question, but yeah.
Thank you. So, you know, we talked last week about building altars in our lives and places of surrender, and I think I know, you know, we would all, I'm sure, have the experience of going, it's never just one moment, it's that ongoing, and
yeah.
There's friends, there's different voices, there's church community, there's all these different spaces, so thank you. I feel like we've danced around this one a little bit, but, you know, I suppose in the context of just your journeys of following Jesus, has there been a specific scripture, maybe a particular message, you know, touched on a couple of different experiences, but maybe that have deepened your faith, you know, where there's been those, I suppose those turning point moments of going, oh, this is a come to Jesus moment, so to speak, and I feel like I'm just going deeper, and I've got a deeper experience of understanding God's love or his faithfulness or, you know, whatever that might be.
Yeah, I am. Two kind of experiences that led to some scripture kind of spoke to me when I wrote this down. Two of these actually I've spoken about before. One of them, I wrote Dolby with an eye roll emoji, because that this is like was one thing that was such a massive thing that happened to me. So very briefly, a few years ago, I got a job out at Dolby. I packed up my whole house. I moved out there. You know, I was putting my house up for rent. I was, you know, doing all the things. Everything was, like, settled, organized. I got out there, and I instantly knew that that's not where God wanted me to be. It was a job that I thought, yes, this is exactly what I want to do. It's, you know, it's working with cows. It was outside. It was amazing. Anyway, so I got halfway through the week, and I have never been more anxious and alone in my life. And I was calling my mum, who lives in Brisbane. She was kind of like, what do you want me to do? Like, I can't come and get you. So then the Friday night, I'd done a full week. Friday night, I finish, I rock up back to youth, because I said to Liam, I was like, yeah, I'll work Monday to Friday, I'll be back at youth. And I walked into youth, and Pat was there and Liam, and they both looked at me. And I had, like, I was being in dust for 5 days, so I looked like Snoop Dogg, right? I was like, anyway, and they just looked at me and they were like, okay, maybe this wasn't ideal. And I just knew in that week that, like, God had spoken to me and just was like, this is not where you're meant to be. Like, I have created you for bigger things and for better things. And there was one night where I didn't know what else to do, so I opened my Bible to Psalm 23, and I just read Psalm 23 for probably 2 hours, just back to back, and I just thought, okay, like, this is, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, and he's, like, he's going to look after me, he's going to protect me, but it's not here, and it's not in this place. And so after a week, I quit, and I moved back into my house. It was a whole big thing, and then yeah, after that, I just realized, like, doing things on my own causes so much more pain than doing it with God and doing it with, you know, the people who love you and care for you. If they say things, listen to them. And so that was a really, really pivotal moment in my relationship with Jesus, in just helping me to realize that, yeah, having control is not always the, well, it's not the best at all. Your control is, you know, God's control is way more better and greater. And then another moment, my sister, so I've got a younger sister, and I'm very protective and passionate about my people, and especially my siblings. And so it was the start of 2024, my sister lost a baby. And then, oh gosh, it was probably 9 months later, she got diagnosed with thyroid cancer. I'm really tired, so I'm crying.
This is breakthrough. We've had some moments, but this is yeah.
Yeah. And I was so angry with God. My sister and her husband are like the strongest Christians that I know. And throughout the whole experience, they knew that they were going to lose the baby, and it was a whole journey, and I've never seen two people more steadfast in their faith and in their prayer and in just their relationship with God. And then when like that all kind of happened, and then when she got diagnosed with thyroid cancer after, just every time I'd go over and see them, I'd be like, how are you going? Like, you know, I couldn't tell, like I was angry. But my brother-in-law, he'd always be like, yeah, you know, like it's hard, but you know, like we're praying about it, and you know, God's got a reason for this, God has got a plan. And I thought, okay, I was like waiting for the shoe to drop, waiting for like them to just snap and be like angry, and they never did, and they never have. And I think for me, yeah, I was really angry with God, and I was like, really just like, how could you let this happen to two people who are so like committed, and they're the first ones at church on Sunday, they are the first ones to help people, to volunteer for anything they within their church and with people. And so that was really, really hard. And so I took all my anger to God, which I hadn't done previously, and so I was like, I don't know how this is going to go, but and I just realized like God wants that. He actually wants us to not just come to him when we're like, oh, hey, God, like, can we need this? Or, hey, God, like, thank you. But he actually wants us to be angry with him. Like, not like he just wants everything. And it took me a long time to realize that. I don't know if you, I think of this like in movies and stuff where there's like someone who's like really angry and is like punching someone else, and the person's just like letting it happen. And like, I was just like, yeah, God's just like letting me just like process through all of this. And I think that was a really pivotal moment for me, in A, both seeing my sister and her husband just be so steadfast in hit after hit that they got, and being like, okay, well, you know, they've, you know, made it through this. And yeah, just being okay with showing all your emotions to God, and he still shows up, and he still was like, okay, yeah, I see you, and I see your frustration, but I still love you, and I still like have grace for you, and I'll still be there in the other end. And so I think that was really, really like huge change for me and my depth of my relationship with God. So yeah,
I'm gonna need the question again, please.
I asked Kaya on, was it Thursday, are we gonna need tissues? And she's like, nah, but you. I'm sitting here without a box of tissues, looking like a jerk up here. No, it's good. Thank you, Maddie. I want to jump off the back of that really quickly. And I love that you went to Psalm 23. And we reflected on this with a few people as of late, that we love the picture of God as the shepherd, right? Of he leads and he's faithful, and we get this picture of just a really gentle father. But I also, you know, there's a rod and a staff that shepherds carry. And sometimes it is that gentle leading, and sometimes it's a bit of a whack. You know, sometimes the shepherd has to whack the sheep and go, Dolby ain't it. You know, you need to come back. And I just love that in the midst of that. That's the picture of just that story for you, of going in deep crisis and pain. You experience the God of Psalm 23 as a shepherd. gentle and calm and gracious. And you see the picture of what that looks like in the lives of your siblings and your family, but then also when you're not where you're supposed to be, he just, you know. And it's in the context of community, you know, different voices. We lead each other, we shepherd each other. Sometimes it is a little bit of a whack in it. Other times it's gentle and it's gracious and it's kind. So thank you for your vulnerability. Question. Specific passage, scripture, message, experience that's, I suppose, deepened your faith with Jesus.
Yeah, I think particularly just over the last 2 years, as I've, I think I've just really transitioned from this space of like being an early Christian and kind of figuring out what the Bible is and who God is, into this space of just really knowing what relationship with Jesus looks like. One scripture that's just constantly come up over the last few years in like group Bible studies and my own Bible study and just in those random moments has been John 15:4, which talks about Jesus being the vine and we're the branches and abiding in him. And I think I have really struggled in my faith in being able to sit with Jesus and to start with just have that relationship with him. It was so much easier to be able to do things for God and to be able to tick boxes and say, yep, I'm serving at church, I'm reading my Bible, I've done this. It was just, I think, easier for me to like learn that and to be like, okay, this is how I'm going, this is what I need to do. Yeah, that verse just brings me back to, it just reminds me constantly of the fact that we need to be abiding in Jesus and that we can strive to do all of these things, but if we're not abiding in him, it's all worthless and it's all in our own strength. And eventually, as I've learned a lot over the last few years, we can make our own plans, but if God's not in it and we're not walking in obedience with him, it's going to fall apart. And I've had some big plans fall apart in my life because I haven't given them to God. And so definitely just a reminder to sit with Jesus and that relationship with him needs to come before anything else. It needs to come before serving or writing my lesson plans for kids' church or reading my Bible even. It just needs to be coming to Jesus to sit with him. And I love to yap and so Jesus has really taught me the importance of not just talking in prayer but sitting just in silence sometimes and taking time to listen to what he has to say and not just hearing my own voice all the time.
I suppose this is maybe a question along the same vein. But in terms of, I mean, you both shared some depths of challenge and pain and hurt. You know, in the context of following Jesus, what's it look like for God to help you overcome that? Obviously, there's no bringing back, you know, different situations and circumstances, and you can't change your family story and history. But in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the mess, sitting here today with stuff that's still unresolved in both your lives, where's God in the midst of that for both of you?
I think for me, it's like a constantly I need to remind myself to set myself aside. And I know I've said this a couple times, but it's a real like humbling and just letting God work and letting God do what he has planned for your life. And I think... yeah, just sitting in those moments and also just, like, humbling yourself and, like, I have to, like, be quite stern with myself to just go, like, this isn't about you, like, this is about God and this is about what he wants to do in your life and you getting in the way of that is actually, like, hindering that or not letting you, like, reach the full plan that God has for you. And I think also... I'm really, really blessed for the people that God has placed in my life, and I truly believe that it is from God. And like God has, you know, gives us community, and God gives us people, and He gives us those people for a reason, not just for fun and for movies and friends and coffee, but also to be like, this is real. And I think after, in particular, the Dolby situation, I think a few people realized that I need for people to be like, this isn't it. And like being really like, you can't, like God has a bigger plan for your life. God has this for you. And so also for me, when I hear that, being like, okay, this is coming from God. This isn't just because they don't want me to move away. They don't want me to have fun. They don't want me to have this boring life. It's because they actually care, and like that comes from God. And so having, being able to, I guess, just like remove yourself and surrender yourself and like give up your own ideas and plans, because God is ultimately greater. And is it easy? No. It's really hard. And I think also living in a world and in a society that has timelines for people and has expectations for people, you have to also remove that as well. And you have to remove what the world wants and what you want and just really focus on God. And I'm still figuring out how to do that. So I don't have any strong advice, but it's just a constant every day. Like, okay, God, today's for you. It's not for me. And if there's things that I'm like, thinking or feeling that I don't even know about, like get rid of it, remove it, like I don't want it, make it known so I can pray about it, or like make it known to the people around me so they can call it out of me as well. So yeah, it's an everyday humbling, I guess, is probably how I overcome it.
I think the biggest thing for me has been trusting God and trusting in his plans and then letting go of control. And it's something I still struggle with so much. I think anyone who knows me knows that I'm a little bit of a control freak. And I get really anxious and worried when circumstances and situations move outside of my control. There have been some big situations and circumstances over the last few years, particularly just with what my family's gone through, where I have had absolutely no control of what is going to happen. And I have really had to learn to trust Jesus and to just let go of control. I wanted to speak a little bit to our journey with our house. Holly, Beck and I all live together, and just the situation and circumstances of us moving into our house and the timeline of it and just how it came up, it like just had God's handwritten so clearly all over it. And we are so blessed to have each other and to have our house. It was, I think, 2 years ago now, and I had no contact with my mum, and I kind of just left my dad's house quite suddenly, and so I was living in this limbo with church family of like, where am I gonna live? I ended up moving back in with my mum for a little bit, but it just wasn't going to be sustainable for us long term, and so I was like, God, I really need a place to live. And so I was actively searching for housemates and houses for probably 6 months. Even before I'd moved out of my dad's house, I'd been looking and kind of journeying that. And there were quite a few places that came up, and like I was in conversations and nearly at the end, and just they all seemed so amazing. And I was like, great, God, this is it. This is where you're providing for me. And it would always just be at like the final step before signing something or moving in that it would just fall through. And every time I was so disheartened, I was like, I think in my head I was like, yes, God, I trust you. But in my heart, I was just getting really angry and bitter, because it felt so outside of my control and I couldn't see God moving. And I think the longer I couldn't see him moving, the harder it was to trust in him. But then just the way that we ended up in our house, it was one Sunday morning. I think it might have been Holly's first or second Sunday at church, and she was first Sunday at church, and she had talked to Beck, and Beck had done a lot of life with me, and so knew that I was needing a housemate, and introduced me to Holly, and we're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And I think it would have been like the following Sunday, or maybe the Sunday after that, and then Beck was needing to find a new place to live and find housemates, and so it just ended up being the three of us, which has been such a blessing. I never thought that moving out of home in the way I did, that I would be living with Christians, let alone living with people like in our church community. And yeah, it was just, we had looked at a few houses, and there was just this one house. I think Holly and Beck were both away, so I went to the inspection, and there was one other family there, and then just me, and it just seemed to happen so quickly. It was like, I think a few days, like we put in an application straight away, heard back a few days later, and were signing a lease agreement, and it was just so quick and so sudden and so like unexpected, and just, if anyone's seen our house, like it is just the biggest blessing to have where we are, and just, yeah, it has God's hand written all over it. But it was such a journey in learning to trust God. And I think when he's shown up in big ways like that, and he's like turned my plans absolutely upside down on their heads, like he is just constantly reminding me that his plan is always going to be better and greater. And no matter what I plan for myself, I'm not God, and I'm never going to be that good, even when I think I am. And yeah, just really having to surrender that control to him, to just constantly remind myself and constantly be praying, okay, God, I do trust you in this. Like, I can't control these circumstances, and above all else, I want to be walking in obedience to you. So regardless of the outcome, I know that you're in it, and I trust you even when it doesn't look the way that I want it to look.
Yeah, so I reflect on so many conversations we've had over the last 2 years of just different coffee catch-ups, talking ministry and praying for cars, and then perfect car pops up, and praying for houses and stuff comes through, and praying for vision and direction. And it's just, I think it's a credit to both of you as well that God's obviously faithful, but we follow, we've got to be obedient and be surrendered and live in that way. And we'll start to round things out here. So maybe Patty, you can jump up. Thank you, bro. Do I have Pat's mic, by the way? Okay, great. Okay. If you could share one piece of encouragement, obviously recognizing we're all at different places in what it looks like to be following Jesus this morning. If you could share one piece of encouragement or advice with someone exploring faith, maybe desiring to deepen their faith and become more like Jesus, what would it be?
I kind of have two that kind of work together. The first one is, don't be disheartened when it gets hard. I think a lot of people can view Christians and see Christians and go, oh, you know, they've got it all together, they've got their life together, like, you know, everything's all good, they've, you know, and then things get hard and they're like, well, obviously, like, maybe I'm not a Christian, or maybe I'm not on the right path. But when things are hard and the journey is tough, then the outcome's always better. And that's something that took me a long time to learn. I wanted like quick fixes. I wanted to be like, right, I'm really like sad now, or right, I want to be happy straight away. But like sitting in that and actually trusting that to God and understanding that when it is hard, it's actually worth it. And sitting in those hard times helps you to like have time to sit with your relationship with God. So that's probably one thing. Don't be disheartened when it gets hard, because I guarantee it will. Like, that's just life. And my second thing is, community is so important. And there's been so many instances in my life where, like, the community here and the people that I met when I first came here truly changed the trajectory of my life. And, yeah, I definitely wouldn't probably be sitting here as leading a ministry, you know, being involved in youth and Home Connects and beginning to preach and all of that stuff, if it wasn't for the people that I've surrounded myself with. And it's the people that don't just give you the things you want to hear, but give you the things you don't want to hear. And it's actually coming back off youth camp, the Ben, who was preaching, the topic was courageous, which you can probably see by the shirts, but there was one sermon he did about being courageous in community, and he was talking about how, you know, you have like five people who have the most influence over your life, and so you have one life, and so it's okay to be really strict about who those people are, because the people that you surround yourself with are the people that you become. And when I was reflecting on that, I thought, like, there are some people in this community truly who are like influential people who have changed the way that I've lived my life, and that is all from God. And being vulnerable with people and opening up to people is all from God, because I wouldn't do that on my own. And so also community helps you when things get hard. So when you think they feel like things are too hard, having people that you can be like, hey, life sucks right now, or like I feel like God's not listening, or I feel like God's not there. Having people to be like, all right, let's pray about this, let's talk it out, and maybe like this is wrong, this is what it is so valid and so important. And so connecting community is a little subtle plug there, but yeah, so that's probably my two things.
I think the probably the most transformational thing I've learned over the last few years has just been to take time to sit at the feet of Jesus. And like I've seen it in my life when I sat at Jesus' feet, just how much he speaks and how much he transforms our hearts. And I think in that it's also just like giving up this dependence on myself and my own strength to do things and really leaning into being dependent on God to work in my heart and to change things. And I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in my brother's life, for those who know a little bit of his story. He just became a Christian and got baptized at the start of last year. And he had had a huge struggle with mental health and his identity, just after my parents' separation particularly. And seeing him come to Jesus in a way where he wasn't just going to church or reading his Bible, but you could just see and know that he was sitting at Jesus' feet, and just how quickly his heart was transformed, and the absolute 180 in his life from that. Like, I don't think there's anything more powerful than taking time to sit at the feet of Jesus. And yeah, particularly in ministry, I think it can be a struggle. It's so easy to fall into doing things, and just making sure I'm getting everything done. But it's, yeah, been a huge journey over the last year, especially just learning that before writing any lesson plans and before doing any resource prep and writing any team meetings, like, I need to be sitting at Jesus' feet and going to him first and just really seeking him and asking him to speak into those things rather than going and doing it in my own strength.
Hey, thank you both so much for sharing. Can we honour Maddie and Kyle this morning? Three things before we finish. Have you both pray, I think, to close. I think that'll be a special moment. Firstly, I want to jump off the back of Maddie. Like, we... shameless plug for community, Home Connects, all the stuff. It's coming. We'll talk about it again. But I just, you know, I'll stand up here often, almost every week, and talk about being found in community. And that's not an unintentional turn of phrase. There's a real intentionality to a twofold reality about being found in community. That Maddie's story is not just finding God in the context of community, but finding herself. And I know Kaya's story is the same, and my story is the same. Turning up to a local church at 17, 18, completely broken, no church background. And I often use the terminology of going, I found God in that church. And because I found God, I found myself. And so there's that turn of phrase of going, it's about being found in community where we don't just find God in the context of here, but we find ourselves and we find people and we find people to journey with and we find Jesus in the midst of all of it. I suppose off the back of that, you know, there's a one another command out of Galatians that Paul, I suppose, encourages the body in Galatia to bear one another's burdens. And I think we love to pay lip service to that. But in reality, to bear one another's burdens as the person carrying the pain and the hurt, we have to invite someone in to bear that with us. And we're just horrible at it in the context of the West. We love image and we love status and we love putting this image forward that we have it all together. But the story of Maddie, the story of Kaya, I know this, all of our stories, is that when we finally lay it down and we finally drop the image and the desire for all of those things and we actually say, hey, I'm not okay. You know, that there's actually pain, there's hurt. I need somebody to help me carry this, that we actually experience that. And we experience what it is to spread the load and actually have community be community for us. And so I know that in the context of this morning, there's no doubt that there's situations, circumstances and stuff across all of our lives where being found in community is the answer. Jesus is the answer. And we find him as we gather in this space. And so that's the encouragement. It doesn't have to be here. You know, there are so many great local churches in the context of Toowoomba where we can be found in community and God's there and he's present and he's faithful. And if it's here, then great. We love it. We love community. We talk about it all the time. And we'd love to see fresh faces continue to connect in. But at the end of the day, thank you both so much for sharing. Love it if you could pray to close and then we'll transition.
Let's pray. Jesus, we know that you are a God of peace. We've experienced your peace in our lives, Lord. And so we just pray this morning into that, Lord. We pray over circumstances and situations. We pray over worries and anxieties, Lord, and we just pray for your peace over them, a peace that it surpasses all understanding. Lord, it is just so beyond our comprehension and can be so overwhelming, Lord. And so we just ask and invite your peace over us this morning, over this community this morning, Lord Jesus. Over any questions and doubts and worries that might be in our minds and things that we're wrestling with in our hearts, Lord. We just pray that you would enter in and you would enter in with your peace, Lord, and just overwhelm us this morning. We thank you for the way that you have worked in our community, Lord Jesus. Each one of us has such a powerful story of you, Lord, and we know that you're not finished, that there are testimonies to come for years to come, Lord, and so we just ask that you would keep moving in such powerful ways, Lord, that we would be encountering your peace and your presence in ways that are just unimaginable and undeniably you, Lord Jesus.
And Father God, we just... we thank you for community. God, we thank you for your people. We thank you for the ways that you have put people into our lives that want to call us higher. God, I pray that we find you in our community. God, I pray that you help us to humble ourselves before you. God, help us to put ourselves aside, put our thoughts, put our control, put everything aside to look to you. God, help us know what is in our lives that we need to get rid of, or we need to cut out, what is hindering us from experiencing your full love and for your full grace. God, we just thank you so much for the ways that you're working in each and every one of our lives. If there's any doubt, God, please just make yourselves known to us. Make yourselves known to us as a community. Make yourselves known to us as individuals. You've created us exactly as we are for a plan and for a purpose. God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that we can show up no matter who we are, no matter what we've done, no matter what we think, and you love us and you have grace for us and you want us to be here and you want to hear every single thing that we're thinking, emotions, thoughts, God, because you care for us. You love us and you sent your son for us to be our substitute, God. So we just thank you. We thank you for community. We thank you for who you are.